WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And with U.S. Census forms going out in the mail this month, we'll be doing a lot of census coverage on this show all this week at this time. We'll talk briefly to William Fry from the Brookings Institution about his article in the Washington Post, Five Myths About the 2010 Census and the U.S. Population. Today, myth number two, the country is getting uniformly older. Hi, Bill. Welcome back.
Oh, it's good to be back.
We're not an aging nation?
Well, we are an aging nation, that's for sure. I'm a baby boomer, and I can tell you that we're on the forefront of what's going to be happening here in the next 20 years. But we're not aging uniformly across the country. The new estimates that came out from the Census Bureau, which I think will be confirmed with the census that is taken, is that 25 states have shown declines in their child population since 2000, but another 25 states have increased their child population. States like Arizona and Nevada have increased their child populations by over 30%. So we have a younging phenomenon going on in some parts of the country. At the same time, other parts of the country will be aging even more rapidly because younger people are either not being born there or their parents and they are leaving at the same time. Thus, baby boomers who live in those states will continue to get older.
You call it selective aging and selective younging. Where do you see New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut in this?
Well, unfortunately, these are the parts of the state that people have been leaving for generations. And part of the reason a state gets older over time is because not just because older people are aging in place, but also because during the younger ages, people have left those states to go to other parts of the country, into the Sun Belt. Now, to some degree, the New York metro area isn't aging as rapidly as it might because of lots of immigrants coming into the region. But for the most part, the Northeast and the Midwest are part of that aging part of the U.S. because the young part of the population has continued to move to the Sun Belt.
So are we heading for a young-old regional divide with political implications?
Well, I think there could be, because if you look ahead to 2020, the median age of some states is well over 40. The median age of others are below age 35. When you have a young multi-ethnic population in parts of the Sun Belt, they're interested in their school systems, they're interested in affordable housing. On the other hand, in the older part of the country, people are worried about their Social Security staying in place, Medicare, Medicaid, all of that. There could be some clashes apart age-related issues that are going to be different in different parts of the country.
You told my producer off the air about what you call cultural generation gaps, that overlapping the nation's selective younging are emerging cultural generation gaps. What does that mean?
Well, part of the age divide will be, to some degree, a race and ethnic divide. Most baby boomers are white, and the biggest minority population among baby boomers are African Americans. But among people under age 45, which are below the age baby boom ages, the bigger minority populations are Hispanics. And as a result, younger children are especially largely dominated by Hispanics in parts of the country today. Their parents are going to be concerned about those issues that affect, multi-ethnic school system, multi-ethnic environment, compared to perhaps the baby boom generation who's not as closely connected to that kind of world because their own family isn't part of it.
And one of the stats that you cite, non-white minorities now comprise 44% of the child population. That's a national stat, right?
That's right.
Compared with only 20% of persons over age 65.
That's correct. And it's even more dramatic in some other places. In many metropolitan areas and states, the under 18 population is already a majority minority, where the over 65 population and even the over 45 population is very much a majority white. And so, I don't see any big kind of out in the streets racial clashes or anything like this, but it's a more subtle kind of cultural divide, I think, going to emerge.
Well, if I understand you correctly, it's not so much about race. It really is about generation and which ethnic groups concentrate which ages. So if you have a debate at a state level between more funding for public education or more funding for programs for the aged, I mean, that it sounds like that's where those fault lines lie.
I think that's correct. And I think the politicians of the future, if they are to be successful, are going to have to find ways to bridge those kinds of gaps to sort of satisfy everyone, or at least satisfy some of the people in each generation.
All right. You'll be back tomorrow at this time as we do our short segments on five myths about the 2010 census and the U.S. population with William Fry from the Brookings Institution, based on a Washington Post article that he wrote. What's myth number three?
Myth number three is about the changing congressional representation that might come out of the census.
All right. Tomorrow at this time. Talk to you then.
Good.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay with WNYC because Leonard Lopate with Mario Batali is coming up right after the news. This is WNYC FM and AM New York and WNYC.org. Talk to you tomorrow.